I have something to say to you this morning, something to remind you about this morning, and that is that you are the stuff of which life is made. You are flesh and bones and brilliance. You are atoms, you are cells, you are Holy Spirit standing in human forms of awareness. You are the stuff. Look at yourself. All of your magnificence, all of your creativity, all of your knowing, just look at you. Why meddle with perfection? Without you and all that you are and all that you have been through to make you who you are, you would not be the you that you are sitting here today. So let's just get right down to it. Can I ask you a question this morning?
Sure.
Okay. Can I ask you to trust that you are becoming more of who you were created to be in every moment? Can you trust the process? Somebody wants me to say it again?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say it again. Can I ask you, to trust that you are becoming more of who you were created to be in every moment? Can you trust the process? Can you trust that the breath of life that breathes through you is purposeful? Yeah. Life keeps moving forward in the direction of your highest good. And one more thing I'm going to ask you this morning. Is it possible for you to expand your expectation to receive more than you have allowed yourself in the past to receive? Right? In 1 Peter, Chapter 4, verse 10, it states that each of you should use whatever gift you have, because your gift has a purpose, and a large portion of that gift is to help others and to serve others. The universe needs you to purpose your gifts. Let's make some quick adjustments here. Your gift is right here. Your gift is right here, right now. Your gift is in your awareness of what is being given or received that you acknowledge with gratitude and appreciation. When I was a little girl, on Christmas Day, it was our ritual to get up and go to my Aunt Carrie and Uncle Tom's house. They lived on the east side of Detroit. So to travel far, you had to take a freeway, take a side street. No matter how high the snow was, the snow could be up to my neck. We were going to Aunt Carrie's house. And Aunt Carrie had the best macaroni and cheese this side of heaven. I kid you not. It was those long macaroni noodles, okay? With cheese and with color, baked perfectly. And on top of that, she made some rolls, some homemade rolls with the butter in the middle, and they were perfect. And ooh, we would just fill our faces up with those rolls and with that macaroni and cheese. And Aunt Carrie never bragged or anything, but she would just watch. She would just smile. She would get great pleasure out of watching us enjoy what she had cooked. So after we would eat all the food and everything, she had a pool table in the basement. One of those green pool tables. Anybody remember pool table in the basement? Okay, she had a pool table. And all the gifts would end up on the pool table. So somebody called my name, and I went and got my gift. And excuse me if you already heard this story. Act like you didn't, okay? All right. So somebody called my name. I went and got the gift. And my father stepped in and said, "You didn't say thank you." And I said, with my hand on my head, "I don't even know what it is. I don't even know if I'm going to like the gift." Why'd I do that? My father said, if somebody took the time to prepare a box, put something in it, Wrap it tightly and then write your name on it, then you should be thankful. I'm sure I coughed up a thank you at that moment. But I was so mad at my father, I probably didn't speak to him for like a whole week after that, unless he spoke to me first. But today, I'm grateful for that lesson that gave me a much keener awareness of appreciation. Luke, the 6th chapter and the 38th verse reads, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." Now, up until now, I always thought this scripture meant giving something physically, only pertained to just actually taking something and giving it to somebody. But you know me well enough that I have the audacity to change these Bible verses around and make them do what I want them to do. So this is what I think about this verse. Give and it shall be given unto you means give way and expand your ability to receive what is being given to you. Good measure, a large portion. Pressed down, just like the pressure on a diamond that allows it to be beautiful. Shaken together like a good recipe and running over like rivers of pure abundance. My entire translation is, when you give way, when you make room for more to come forth, it will run to you in a way that you will have no doubt that this blessing is yours. Ever notice yourself cutting yourself off from a blessing? From a gift? From a compliment, because you don't feel worthy enough, ready enough to receive it. Let me tell you something. You're already enough. There's nothing else that you need to do to be more worthy. You're already enough. You don't need another song, another book, another class, another friend, another lover, another wife, another husband, another job to tell you who you are. If you need anything more, let it be that you open your arms wider to accept you as you are in this very moment. If this is not your most glorious moment, newsflash, you're still enough. If this is your most glorious moment, you're still enough. If you always thought there was one more thing you needed to improve upon to consider yourself enough, you are enough. You were always enough. You will always be enough. Let's know this together if you can. I love and accept myself exactly as I am.
I love and accept myself exactly as I am.
Okay, y'all kind of dragged down a little bit. Okay, y'all sound like you weren't sure. It felt like I was pulling the truck. Come on, let's get it. I love and accept myself exactly as I am. Now, doesn't that feel better? Come on, let's get with it now. Repeat after me. I am enough. Okay, now listen, I want you to grab a partner very quickly, okay? Grab a partner, just sit next to somebody. You can move if you need to. Good. Anybody don't have a partner, raise your hand. You need somebody to come to you. You're doing good. I'm so proud of y'all. And y'all looking good this morning, too. Yeah, I'm giving y'all a hand. Okay. Everybody have a partner?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take a deep, stingy breath in through your nose and let it out through your mouth. Good. One more time. In through your nose. Hold it for a second. Let it out through your mouth. Good. Now I want you to generously give this next affirmation. And I want you to generously receive it. Okay, now listen to your instructions. One of you is A and one of you is B. Figure it out. Got it? All the A's, raise your hand. Ooh, good. All the B's, raise your hand. All right, we're smoking with fire. Okay, all of my A's, listen up. I want you to look straight into B's eyes and say this from your heart. You are enough.
You are
enough. Now, B, I want you to repeat after me. You are absolutely correct. I am enough.
You are absolutely correct. I am enough.
Okay, that's good. Okay, now look straight into A's eyes, and from your heart, repeat after me. You are enough.
You are enough.
Now, A's, repeat after me. You are absolutely correct. I am enough.
You are absolutely correct. I am enough.
And breathe that in. And breathe that in through your nose. How you feeling?
Good.
Own it. Sit up straighter. That should make you sit up straighter. Okay? That should make you be on the edge of your seat. Come on now. This is still January. We got the whole year to go. Even if you're not ready to receive all of what you have just been given, you can gradually claim it, gradually own it. You can gradually begin to absorb this over and over again in the next few days. See, it doesn't matter when you begin to use your gifts. It matters that you do use them. I'm going to say it again. I don't know if everybody got that. It doesn't matter when you begin. It doesn't matter if you begin tomorrow or today. Or if you started a long time ago, it matters that you use them. I've been blessed enough to open my arms to receive blessing after blessing, and I'm super honored and blessed to be part of the women's ministry here and the outreach ministry and all the love you gave to us and to the children and to the elders of New York City during December. I'm just so proud of all the coats that we put on people's backs. I mean, aren't you proud of us?
Yes.
Come on, let's give it up for us. And I just want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Just thank you. Just thank you. Now, some of you have gone a little above and beyond and shared your parents with me. Like, I got people's mamas and daddies adopting me all over the place. And that's because you all share with me, so thank you. Thank you. I'll be taking other people's parents. But they let me, though. They let me. So one of those people who took me in was Zoe's dad, Bo Lyons.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He would tell everybody, oh, yeah, this is my daughter. People look at him like, huh? You know? And Zoe has been one of those people. We're so lucky to have a soul like hers working in our church office.
Yes.
We really are. So when she lost her father, it was difficult. It was difficult for all of us. But one of the things about Bo Lyons, besides all of the things you may have read about him in the Boston Globe or whatever, is that he recognized his gifts early on. And when I was putting together a poem that I presented during his memorial, I found out that at 3 years old, he would just leave the house and take off and help the mailman deliver the mail. Yeah, just leave out. Just be gone. At three. And in high school, he was captain of the football team and the baseball team. But the thing that stands out to me is while I was there, this young man, his African-American brother, got up at the memorial. And you know, people talk about you when you're dead. They'll either say good things about you or they'll say some not good things about you, okay? But this brother got up there. He talked about how the football team at Northeastern had been unfair to him, disqualified him, et cetera, et cetera. But he says that he went in and told Bo Lyons what was going on. And he said that he had this attitude. This kid was just kind of out of place with this attitude. You know how we get sometimes. And Bo said, look, calm it down a notch. Because you're not going to be able to play next year with that attitude. He said Bo fixed everything, made sure that everything was fair, so that he had a fair chance on that team. Okay, so Bo helped him to make room for his gifts, and at the same time, Bo made room for more of his own gifts. After he retired from all that football stuff, he designed sculptures. He would just see a piece of wood and just said, I'm gonna turn that into a fish. I turn that into a bird. So at his memorial, people were bringing in like little blankets of animals and things that he had sculpted out just to keep it nice, in a little box, and just bring it in and put it on display. But anyway, he designed gates and doors and windows and mirrors for himself and all his neighbors. If you drive down that street, you'll just see a street just full of something that he helped to beautify. Proverbs 18:16 states, a man's gifts will make room and open doors for him. And so it will with yours. It doesn't matter how much time you have left. It matters how you use the time that you have now to assist, to serve, to honor yourself and others. You can sing solo or sing in the choir. Just sing your notes. You can drive others around, or you can smile and make more room for someone else getting on the bus. You can write a book, or you can write a love note. You know what you're good at. Open the gifts up and use them. Please stop asking others if your talent is enough. The only one who can answer that question is you, which means that you should give yourself a break. Stop playing like you don't know you can write a song in one sitting. You're well acquainted with the answer. The answer is deep within you. The truth will set you free. Own it, stand on it, kick up some dust around it. In Joseph Campbell's book, Reflections on the Art of Living, he states, the privilege of a lifetime is being who you are. Further along in the book, it goes on to say, and I love this, life is without meaning. You bring the meaning to it. Do you remember when you were little and you used to collect things like baseball cards, marbles, dice, popsicle sticks, worms, twigs, records, whatever? You were lining up your good. You were lining up those things that were special or important to you. I encourage you to do the same thing right now. Take stock of everything that is worthy of notice and give thanks for it. So that the next time you find yourself walking through an uncomfortable situation, as quickly as you can, start creating a brand new collection. Count the number of smiles that pass you by, the number of stars in the sky, the number of branches in the trees, the footprints in the snow. Take notice of the salt in your tears that remind you that you're connected to the salt in the ocean and that we are all connected and you are not alone. Go directly to the thankfuls, the gratefuls, the I appreciate this or I appreciate that moment. You know how in Monopoly it says, go directly to go, you know, collect $200, what's it say?
Go. That's right.
Yeah, right, right. Go directly to your thankfuls. Don't sulk in that thing that makes you feel less than who you are, okay? Go directly to the thankfuls. Give yourself the gift of calm. Your gift could be the simplicity of coming to a peaceful conclusion. Your gift could be that you have less pain now, less worry, more energy, more hope, less concern about what everyone else thinks. A simple moment of meditation can make room for a shift in your perspective. It can allow more faith to rise up in you. Faith is like a scaffold. Have you ever seen those buildings being torn down or built up? And they have the scaffolding with bolts and screws and all these different parts that must be steady and able to work in conjunction with each other before another layer is added on. It's just like faith. You might not have enough faith for a lifetime. Maybe you have enough faith for this moment. Maybe you just had enough to make it here today and sit where you're sitting. And you plan to be the first one in line for the prayer chaplains right after service. But have you ever walked into that prayer room and had one of our prayer chaplains say to you, oh no, we don't have enough here who can handle your prayer request? Honey, that's a big one. Only God can answer a prayer of that magnitude. No, you haven't. Because they look you in the eye, face to face, and they go into that sacred place that is waiting for expansion and elevation and clarity. And before you leave that room, you feel a shift, a change, a turnaround. You feel lighter. Your faith has been steady. The Bible never once says that when someone approached Jesus for healing, that he said, how long you been having these symptoms? Have you seen any other doctors? Jesus would just say, rise up and walk, or thy faith has made thee whole. And something like, and invite me over to dinner the next time I'm in town. Okay? We got to try to keep it light, keep it smooth, take it one day at a time. It reminds me of the very first poem I ever learned. It's called Little Things. Little drops of water, little grains of sand, make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. Oh, the little minutes, humble though they be, make the mighty ages of eternity. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
This past New Year's Eve, another adoptive mama of mine, Dee Dee Michaels, put on her shiny shoes and her sparkly black jacket and her red blouse, got up on stage to sing her song. She sang that beautiful song whose lyrics are, I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Nobody knew it would be the last song she'd ever sing, but she did open her sweet soul and share her gifts that night eloquently and gracefully. Let me tell you this, she went from picking cotton in Lumberton, North Carolina, until her tiny little five-year-old fingers bled, to becoming one of the sisters in a group called the Brotherton Sisters. Her next expansion happened when the Supremes gave up the name the Primettes and became the Supremes, and then she and her sisters became the Primettes. She sang background, front ground for Columbia and Atlantic Records for many years, raised a family, became a registered nurse, a school teacher, wrote a book, and went right back to singing all over again. And I say to myself, what a wonderful world. I want you to take that piece of paper that was given to you. And the first thing I want you to do, I want you to draw your face on that piece of paper. Now, if you say, oh, I'm not an artist, just make a circle. And a half moon going with the lips going up this way. I want your face to have a smile of appreciation on it. And I want you to draw your arms as wide as you can make them. Stretch them out like the most beautiful horizon or like feathers that you've ever seen. And I want you to write along those beautiful arms of yours, I am enough. I want you to take a deep breath in with me. Self-empowerment is you not getting in your own way, but making way for grace and for ease and full acceptance of the next version of yourself that is emerging. Stand in your power. Repeat after me, I stand in my power.
I stand in my power.
Yeah, it's yours to stand in. Stand in your glory, let it shine. Open your gifts over and over again. They are yours to express as only you can. You, my brothers and my sisters, you're enough. So when you leave here today, I want you to just repeat that mantra over and over in your head. I'm enough. Over and over again. Because as soon as we get outside of this beautiful, sacred place, we go into that ritual of comparing ourselves to everybody else. Well, they have this and I don't have that. And they have this and I don't have that. Oh, I wish I had that. We used to have that. The moment is now. Use your gifts. You are beautiful. I love you. You are enough.
Yay.